Good morning. I hope you're having a fine sunny morning. Welcome to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins, and I'm in the studio with an old friend and a return guest and somebody who is in charge of a really cool organization in town, and also somebody who's a fellow journalist in the Dayton Daily News, Sharon Short. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming back. So we should tell people you are the executive director of the Antioch Writers Workshop, mm-hmm. out in based in Yellow Springs, but kind of a regional writers
national support
yeah. organization. You also are known to readers of the newspaper as the writer of our Literary Life column.
Yes,
and,
I love it. Love it.
And for a long time, Sanity Check, which was a lifestyle column you did for a long time,
and very funny it was.
It was
I
hilarious.
Must say.
I loved it. Yeah, I started printing it. I was happy to have it. So, all right. So, we're here because the Antioch Writers Workshop had big anniversary this year. 30 years old.
30
which
years.
Is long time for any nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people about the workshop and why it matters, what it does.
Well, as you mentioned, it's been around for 30 years. It started at Antioch College, and after 5 years became its own nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit, and it still is. For the past five or so years, we've been presented in partnership with Antioch University Midwest. Our offices are there, and we have our summer program there.
Yep.
And so we have programs year-round, everything from free mini-seminars at Books & Co. To a full...
We love Books & Co.
Yay, Books & Co.
Yeah.
And
that's the only commercial plug we'll do.
That's right. But that's a very worthy one.
Yeah.
They're very sweet to host our, you know, our free mini seminars right
there in
their store.
And those are on Sunday afternoons.
Those are Sundays.
Yeah. And so people know, those are kind of like on the craft of writing, like everything from realistic dialogue to poetry
yeah.
to the business of
they're
selling your manuscript.
Right. It's craft. It's the professional end of things. Occasionally it's, you know, if we get somebody who asks about doing a subject we haven't really done before, you know, spoken word or something like that, we give it a whirl at the mini seminar. You know, it's free, it's fun, it's 2 to 3:30 the third Sunday of the month,
it's
September
free.
Through May, and
it's free.
It's absolutely
free. If you are a writer,
free.
Or if you think you might want to be a writer, or if you wish you were a writer, there's no rules. There's nobody checking your card at the door.
No.
And it's like you drop in, sit around a table.
You just drop
and
in. You don't even have to, yeah. And sometimes we have chairs set up if, you know, we get anywhere from 16 to 40.
I taught one about freelancing a couple of years ago.
You did. And this past Sunday, Kate Geiselman, who's on our board and is editor of Flights magazine and teaches at Sinclair
College, yeah.
Right. She did a free mini seminar on polishing up your manuscript for submission, and it was a gorgeous day, and we had 16 people show up.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. We thought it was great.
I mean, for a literary event at a bookstore in Dayton, Ohio, that's 16 is okay.
16 is great.
I'm not sure. I don't think you'd get 50 in Chicago, you know what I mean? or in New York.
That's
really good, you know? So
yeah, and it's fun because, you know, we see people who come every month, you know, they're excited to be there.
Right.
And then we always see new faces. And it's fun when people come because they recognize that we're very welcoming organization. We talk about community a lot, but we mean it.
Mm-hmm.
We welcome writers wherever they are on the creative writing path.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing fiction, creative nonfiction, or poetry, short or long form,
mm-hmm.
We have programs for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have programs that are suited to beginners, people
yep.
who are just, you know, I think I'd like to write an essay, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we have programs on through, I have written an entire memoir. Now,
what
how
do I
pitch
now?
It to
right.
an agent?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
that translates, you mentioned the summer program. Tell people
right.
about that. That's the big kahuna there.
It is. It's.
I just wanted to say the word kahuna.
It's the big kahuna. It's the crown jewel of our programs is another way.
Well, and it used to be the only thing that the workshop did was
absolutely.
The summer week-long program. And right. under your leadership as executive director, you've expanded it out to be a year-long suite of stuff. You
right.
know?
We
yeah,
have 14
tons and
programs,
tons of programs
year-round.
Right.
And the summer program, yeah, for the first 25 years or so was the program that there had been actually, to be perfectly accurate, there had been a couple years where there had been like a one-day program in the spring or fall.
Mm-hmm.
But consistently, the program was week-long. It still is. And
residential for a lot of people?
Yeah, for people some people commute in, some people stay in a bed and breakfast, and now there's a new, gorgeous new hotel going
into downtown Yellow Springs,
Yellow Springs, so people, you know, and then there's...
Has it opened yet? Or it's opening soon?
I think it's opening this coming spring,
That's
maybe?
What I thought, yeah, okay. Yeah. It'll be open for the next Writers' Room.
I'm hoping so.
I hope. if you have not been to Yellow Springs lately...
Yeah, you need to go.
You need to look at this thing. It's downtown by the library, mm-hmm. on the southern end of downtown, mm-hmm. and it looks like an old Victorian...
Right.
Kind of rambling, gabled hotel building. It's beautiful.
It makes me think of, although the Holiday Inn Hotel was in the countryside in that movie, mm-hmm. it makes me think of the Holiday Inn building.
From
that movie. Anyway, it's week long, and people can come. They can come to the morning programs where we have class like sessions on the craft of writing poetry, fiction, nonfiction. And then we have afternoon breakout sessions where if you have a manuscript that is ready to get some feedback, we have opportunities for that. Mm-hmm. And if you just want to, you know, work on writing prompts and what have you, you can do that. Mm-hmm. I definitely need to mention that our keynoter next year is Roxane Gay. So mm-hmm. we're very excited to have mm-hmm. a writer of her renown and caliber come as our keynoter, and then she'll teach a craft session the next day.
Right.
And that runs July 9th through 15th, 2016.
And what's the tuition? What's it cost to go?
It really varies. We have a $125 registration fee for our program for the summer. And then if you're just coming in the morning or just in the afternoon, there's an additional tuition fee that's, I think, $250.
Yeah.
And then we discount heavily for college students. If you're coming to the full week, mm-hmm. it's like an additional $450.
And a lot of scholarships.
For military. Mm-hmm. And, we have... almost $9,000 worth of scholarships that we give away, mm-hmm. both for adults, and then we have a young writers component. Mm-hmm. So folks out there who are between 15 and 18 or have children or friends or, nieces, nephews, mm-hmm. who are 15 to 18, we have that component where the students apply, mm-hmm. but they come, and it's just $300 for the week. And they're in all the morning classes. They have lunch with agents and editors and writers like Roxane Gay. Mm-hmm. And then they break out in their own afternoon session to work on their manuscripts. And they're amazing.
Some of them
young
are
people.
Really good.
Oh, too. Yeah.
Mostly girls the last couple
years. Yeah. We have a few boys every now and then, but mostly girls.
And why is that, do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah. I know that's become true in journalism and marketing classes. A lot of the what you would consider maybe the softer writing fields mm-hmm. have become very heavily. I mean, I know the last few journalism classes I taught at Miami and Wright State several years ago had become like 85% female just over time. And it was not that way when I was in school in the 80s. It was definitely 50-50.
Yeah.
And it's over time. But anyway, be that as it may. It's definitely happening. It's kind of interesting. So, the kids basically are enormously talented. I remember a couple of the ones I attended last year, and so the there were a couple of kids that were working on some poetry that was like amazing.
Oh, I know. It's
because there's a public readings throughout the week where mm-hmm. some of the attendees can read their stuff, and you get a real feel for what people were working on. Mm-hmm. So is there a typical attendee?
Well, we don't vet attendees other than we do take applications for the young writers mm-hmm. Program and obviously the scholarships. There's a whole process that people go through to apply for scholarships, mm-hmm. Although that makes it sound way more intimidating than it really is. But it's really people who are, our view is that if you're passionate enough that you want to spend a week of your time talking, breathing, living the writing life, then mm-hmm. you're our kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And often people, when they first come, they're a little intimidated because, a week is a long time and it's a pretty intense schedule. But what ends up happening is people end up making connections with other writers mm-hmm. in their own group or from other groups. from the afternoon workshops, mm-hmm. or just at lunch, or with faculty. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the hallmarks, actually, of how we run things, is our faculty don't, you know, we don't put them on stage and then whisk them away.
They interact
separate.
All week.
They interact all week. They have lunch with participants. They're there at each other's readings. They're asking questions of each other, just like participants.
And they ask questions of the participants, too.
And they ask questions of, So it's very much a, hey, we're all into this wonderful journey of creative writing together. So it becomes a real community. And one of the fun things for me is I end up becoming Facebook friends with a lot of the participants.
It's obvious to listeners by now that I've attended several times.
Right.
I've gone a lot.
Yeah.
And you do become really good friends with a lot of folks. Maybe you don't ever see again, except on Facebook, you know, but you keep track of their writing life after that. You know, it's very easy to friend faculty members and keep on top of what their writing life continues to be 2 or 3 years after you met them, which is really neat.
It is neat. And the fun thing is then you can start to see people who just met for the first time. Well, we met for the first time.
Like
however many years ago at the workshop.
A
million years ago.
It was still a fairly new event when we
went. It was.
We went.
I think it might have been the fifth or sixth
I think it was 25 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. We're old, Sharon.
And yet we're still here and writing and talking.
Well, you're writing. I mostly just talk about it and pretend. We'll talk about your writing life in a minute.
But people end up, you get to watch them sort of form friendships and support one another in their creative life and encourage one another. So that's one of the fun aspects of, you know, social media that's definitely wasn't a part of it 30 years ago and is a part of it now is you watch these connections build up and people kind of support each other about having a voice, you know?
And so we should talk about your writing life. Let's tell people, remind people what they're listening to. If you're just tuning in, this is Miami Valley Voices. I'm your host, Ron Rollins, and I'm in the studio with a longtime 25-year friend, Sharon Short, and who I bump into about every 3 or 4 days anyway, you know, but, and we're talking about the Antioch Writers Workshop, of which she's the executive director and out in Yellow Springs, and which is enjoying its, just celebrated its 30th year in operation, which is really cool. So, you're a writer. Let's talk about, you're one of the people that went on from that initial, oh, I want to be a writer thing at the workshop, and then you ended up, you're on like, what, your ninth published novel or something like that?
Let's see.
There's all those mysteries.
I had 9 mysteries published with major publishers. And then a novel called My One Square Inch of Alaska.
Which is really good. You should go out and buy it. And it's really, and read it. It's really good.
It's fun.
It's a great book.
And it came out in 2013.
And it's not a mystery. It's a literary fiction.
Right. Literary fiction, coming of age. And I'm
set here in the Southwest Ohio.
That's right.
Absolutely. Dayton even gets a few mentions.
Dayton does get some mentions. And Miami Valley and Rikes, for those of you who are old Ron and I, you can remember Rikes.
I remember Rikes.
Rikes. Yeah. It's set in 1953.
That's cool. It's a really good book.
Thank you.
And now you've sent another one off to the editor, right? Before we flipped on the mics, you've got your agent is like looking at your latest manuscript.
Right. Well, she's expecting what we hope will be the final set of edits from me to arrive in her inbox on Friday, and then she'll take a look, and you know, hopefully we'll shop it around. But it's a literary suspense, so it kind of merges the mystery aspect of my earlier writing with the literary aspect of My One Square Inch of Alaska.
But also some historical elements.
And it's historical, just like Alaska was.
Right. So that's interesting. You just described several parts of the process that people who are not novelists and writers really may have no idea of. So talk about what it's like. I mean, talk about the work involved. Talk about the beads of blood that form on your forehead and drip onto the page.
Just open a vein the craft book by Lawrence Block.
Yeah, I mean, books don't just spring out of your forehead. I mean, it's hard work. It's mostly persistence.
It is persistence.
You know, even if you can be a talented writer and not have the ability to write a book. I'm a reasonably talented writer. I've never written a book because I don't have the patience for it and I don't have the persistence bone that you do. So talk about what it takes and what's it like.
Yeah, my spirit animal would be a mule, so that helps.
I'm so going to use that.
My spirit animal's a mule.
Mine would probably be a bumblebee.
Bumblebee flitting from flower to flower. Well, for especially this book and my One Square Inch of Alaska, I was sort of grabbed by an idea that wouldn't let me go, which sounds a little more woo-woo than I like to normally be. But
that's exactly it, though. You don't have a woo-woo idea, you ain't gonna stick with it.
Yeah, I get sort of obsessive compulsive about an idea, and then it's a big. I always say creative writing's a mess until it isn't.
Right, well, that makes sense.
Because it's a mess of research and
notes
and then finally realizing, you know, getting down to, okay, what is the character's story? What does the main character have to learn, and how are they going to change? Not just on an external level, but deep down.
Right.
And
because that's what a novel is about. At the end of the day, a character changes.
A character changes.
Essentially, yeah.
That's all.
The main thing. If that
it really is.
If that doesn't happen, then it's probably.
It's just going through the motions at that point.
You know. Yeah. And certainly, there's plenty of novels in which that doesn't really happen. But I mean. But even if you take it, if you parse it down to your most basic bodice ripper romance, you know, the character changes.
That's right.
You know, she usually falls in and out of love and. Mm-hmm. And is a different person at the end. And doesn't happen, if that journey doesn't occur, you don't have a novel.
Right. So the big question I'm always asking myself is why? Why is this person doing this? Why does this person need to do this? What do they need to learn?
Right.
And for this book, I think I have 3 bins worth of research and files, and I don't know how many. I get big artists. I'm not an artist like you, but I get big artist pads and, you know, brainstorm ideas, and then
is that how you do it?
I do.
You're not a 3x5 card person?
I do a little bit of that. I love Excel spreadsheets. I have spreadsheets of timelines and character backgrounds, and you know, that's why I say it's a big mess until it's.
Do you
kind
save
of
that
not.
Stuff?
I have.
I mean, like later on, when years from now, when you've gone to the great Writer's Workshop in the Sky, and they open up the Sharon Short Memorial Library. They'll have papers.
And they won't make a bit of sense.
The Sharon Short papers.
They'll say, she wasn't kidding. It was a big mess.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. Let's have a bonfire. No.
Well, so when do you know it's not? Is there a
It's a visceral
is there a
feeling.
Moment of,
it
like,
actually, it's a visceral
clarity?
Feeling. Yeah. I have been working on this current book for... Gosh.
That was my next question. What's the average length of time?
2.5 years. Yeah. And I'm on the probably 7th major draft.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. I mean, I've thrown out points
of
view.
Well, no. At some point, did you tell yourself, like, screw it, I ain't doing this anymore. I'm moving on. I'm done.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, because the story won't.
You like the story?
Yeah. I've done that with other stories, but this story wouldn't let me go. So,
and the characters really do talk to you, and
they do
while you're driving and mowing the lawn and showering, trying to sleep.
I had a conversation. One of my characters is named Marvina, and I said to my husband David at breakfast one morning, "I'm so worried about my Marvina. She's having such a rough time. It's just so hard for her." And he said, "Honey, you know, you made her up." And she's not real except in your head.
Except that she's about to become real to a lot of people.
To other people. Let's hope so. We'll see.
That's the great mystery of it. I mean, that the stuff that was in your head will transfer into other people's heads through the story.
Isn't
through the
that
book.
Fun?
It's fascinating.
That's why, Stephen King talks about there is the closest thing to actual magic is storytelling
for
that very reason.
Yeah, in a way that you can't even say that of music.
Right.
Really? Well, no, you can't. And if you could, it's because there's lyrics, and the lyrics do perform the same function. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the same. It's bizarre. It really is weird. And it's why people keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
And now, interestingly, now this is your business. So I read a story in the Times a couple weeks ago that talked about how after much thrashing about, bookstores and booksellers and publishers are realizing that the book is not going to die anytime soon, that Kindle and ebook and Nook sales are hitting, or they're plummeting from their high, and that hardback or paper books, softcover and hardcover, are either stable or up.
That's great.
Yeah, considerably.
You know, I learned to let go of...
And then Amazon is opening bookstores.
Yeah, you know. I know.
Amazon's
Isn't
opening,
that funny?
They have one in Cincinnati. Yeah, brick and mortar book sales. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of crazy. I learned to let go a long time. I mean, my first published novel came out in 1992.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, back then people were saying, oh, the book industry is dying. Well, right. I've learned to just kind of let go and say, I don't think so, but even if it is, this is what I do. This is who I am, and I love to read, and I love to write, and... Right. You know, it is what it is. Right. So
after the zombie apocalypse comes, though, there won't be any ebook readers.
So no.
You might as well just, people will like raid libraries and find paper.
Yes.
Just saying. Well, if you wanted to write about that.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a Twilight Zone about that?
I'm sure there probably was.
I think there was, yeah.
Speaking of Antioch, Rod Serling went to
school. Right. That's right. He did.
So the workshop happens in the summer.
It's
a week long thing. Mm-hmm. There's programs throughout the year.
Right.
You mentioned this year's speaker coming up, but there's been some extremely prominent.
Oh.
Andrew DeBoos the III a couple years ago.
Right. Nikki Giovanni last year.
There's a long line of Melissa Faye Green. Who else? I mean, there's been tons and tons.
Sue Grafton. William Least Heatmoon, I'm butchering.
Right.
Lee Martin was a keynoter for us, and he's actually coming back this.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and that's sort of a testament to the workshop.
Talk about that. That's where I wanted to go. It does become a bit of a community of returnees.
Well, he's coming back to... lead an afternoon program in creative nonfiction. So he'll work with just 12 lucky people because our afternoon
seminars. Lee's teaching creative nonfiction?
Because
he's mostly a novelist.
He's a novelist, but he also has two wonderful memoirs.
Well, that's right, he does. Yeah.
He's quite the writer. And then Roxane Gay, actually,
And remind people of her oeuvre.
She is... I'm spacing on her most current novel.
That's right. Just tell you. She's a novelist.
She's a novelist, and she writes creative nonfiction as well for magazines like Pank. And she's been interviewed a lot on NPR.
She's a big deal,
She's a big deal.
I mostly just wanted to say oeuvre.
And she came... just as a guest speaker about one of the literary magazines that she edits a couple years ago. And, you know, we didn't even pay her to come. We just, Kate Geiselman, again, who I mentioned earlier, who's on our board, was an admirer of the magazine that she edits. You know, Kate's a magazine editor at Sinclair, and reached out to her via Twitter. You know, and our 30th anniversary theme, by the way, was typed a tweet and said, hey, Roxane, would you mind coming and, you know, talking about your magazine? I believe she talked about Pank. And Roxane said, sure. And she was just really charming, and we really adored her.
Right.
And she really adored us. And then so she came back a couple years after that to lead an afternoon seminar.
Right.
And then we said, you know, and then she just kind of hit the big time.
Right.
And we asked her if she would be a keynoter, and she said yes, because she just, you know...
Likes it.
She likes us, and we like her.
That's Sue Grafton was a keynoter the year you and I met 25 years ago, before she had hit the...
Right.
It was she showed up the week she hit the New York Times bestseller list the first time, which was like... G is for Gumshoe. She's the alphabet mysteries writer.
Right.
And she's not even at Z yet. I mean, she's...
Right.
I think she has a couple more to go. And
I think X just came out. She cheated a little bit. She didn't say what X was for. It's just called X.
Oh, really? I read her up through M, and then I figured I'll come back to it. I mean, they're good.
Oh, yeah.
I really like them. Her detective is Kinsey Milhone. That's right. And... but then she came back 5 years later, and she'd kind of made it, and she didn't enjoy it as much, I don't think, because she really had, she got asked, she was flattered, I think, to be asked initially, and then she got asked to do that stuff like that all the time 5 years later, but she had a lot to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hard to get people to come to something like this in the Midwest? I mean, Roxane Gay, was she an accident, or is that typical of trying to get people to come to something like the Antioch Writers Workshop?
It's interesting because
it has a national reputation.
It has a national reputation. And what's interesting is people like her or Andre DeBoos III or Lee Martin go back to their universities, their literary magazines, their own literary communities, and they talk about, hey, there's this wonderful workshop called the Antioch Writers Workshop in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
And they talk it up.
If you get asked, you really ought to go.
Yeah.
So that actually helps. If we can work our way sometimes around publicists, frankly, to get to some of these folks directly.
Right.
Writers are very generous people. I'd say 99% of writers out there, whether they're, you know, someone like me who's just kind of a workaday writer, or somebody like a Roxane Gay or an André Debussy III, who are major literary figures,
right.
They're very generous about giving back.
Right. I'm thinking of John Grogan too in the last couple.
And John Grogan, oh my gosh.
Who wrote Marley and Me.
He was a keynoter, and then he came back.
Yeah, he came back. He is juiced when he talks. I mean, he loves the workshop.
Yeah,
he clearly loves him. Yeah, he's a great lecturer. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's so much. What I have found is that the programs are such that even if you aren't actively a writer, there's so much to learn about the act of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the act of understanding a kind of literature or a work of literature that you can learn from listening to talks like that. And I guess I'm not sure if you're not a writer that you would pay $300 or $400 to attend all week, but certainly one of the free events at Books and Company would be of interest to people who are not necessarily even consider themselves, yes, I'm a writer, which is a big leap for some people to make in their own heads. But you'd learn a lot about how do you read and how do writers want you to read them and consume them.
Well, and that leads perfectly to thank you to the Ohio Arts Council for supporting us. And we do have during the workshop week evening readings. The keynote is free. And by the way, I just remembered Roxane's book is An Untamed State.
Right.
And
it was on the tip of my tongue.
Good. I believe you. And we have faculty who read from their works, but also engage with the audience, you know, with questions like we're doing right now with people who love to read. And people can find out more about our workshop at www.antiochwritersworkshop.com.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And if you are a writer, you should consider attending. You will really leave jazzed.
You will
really feel like, I can do this. You know, I'm not alone.
You know, people email me or send notes to me and the board all the time that say it was a life-changing experience. And I know that can sound a little corny, especially in the cynical age.
Good grief.
There you go. That was a life-changing experience.
You're here on my radio show 25 years later.
the cynical age we live in. But people mean it. You know, it's a way they embrace their own voice, their own inner creativity, new friends and find a community while doing so. What's more powerful than that?
And the Dayton area has quite a very cool writers community, which we did not talk about, and it's time to go.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
And I should have you come back sometime soon, not to talk about the writers workshop so much, but to generally talk about the kind of stuff you cover in your column.
Oh, I'd love to.
Which is really cool.
That'd be fun.
And it's going to be, you can find it in this Sunday's Dayton Daily News, in today's Dayton Daily News.
That's right.
That's right. And next Sunday's Dayton Daily News. And
that's right. Every Sunday.
In the Life Dayton Entertainment Daily section.
News. That's right.
We've been here with Sharon Short from the Antioch Writers Workshop. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll get you in again soon. This has been Miami Valley Voices. This is Ron Rollins. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.